Hey, everybody. Doing a car show today. We haven't done one of these in a while. I don't know why. I've been in the car. God knows I've been in the car. Right into it. On our last show, I mentioned some things that I don't like about summer. But I had a list. A total list that I had made that I didn't have with me. Which I again don't have with me. So we're just going to have to spread out the hateful summer hate over a few different shows. But that's okay. Instead of having a hate tank of a show, we just have a, you know, mini hate tank. Mini tank. A quarter tank of gas tank. A thing that I don't like about summer that I've neglected to mention last time, you know, it rolled up and rolled away in my brain. Because it was 2 in the morning when we did that last show. And I was on the spot. I was on the dial. The other thing I hate about summer, though, I don't like the unnecessary nudity of summer. And here's what I mean by the unnecessary nudity. Lots of people, mostly men, I'm going to say, you know, jogging without their shirt on when it's 70 degrees. It is warm when it's 70 degrees. You will probably be sweating when it is 70 degrees and you're out running. I get that. But you're out running. You're meant to be sweating when it is 70 degrees. I don't really think that not wearing a shirt is necessary. And this is an experience that I can speak to. Many other experiences that involve not wearing a shirt, I can't speak to, okay? Should I be wearing a shirt when I'm having passionate lovemake sex? I don't know. I can't speak to that on the level of an expert, an amateur, even a well-wisher. I can't say, oh yeah, no, definitely shirt or no shirt there. You're gonna have to make your own decisions. However, jogging in the summer sun, I can say with certainty, no, you do not need to be shirtless. You can be shirted, shirtful. I don't expect you to wear long sleeves, but I already feel like I'm being very kind about the shorts issue. I just don't understand. I also don't really care for some reason now, when you go to exercise, you can't wear normal things, or even purchase. They have a whole section at your Target now. And what it is like, these are shirts for jogging that somehow rip the sweat away from your body and put it further outside your body. It's like outside the shirt. The shirt gets wet, and then it de-gets wet. Okay? Again, you're not climbing K2. Okay? You're not crossing the Sahara. You are jogging around the block. Here's what you do. You jog around the block and be sweaty, and then you be done, and you take the shirt off. This was the old Wickaway fabric. The old Wickaway fabric worked like this. You get it sweaty, and then you wick it away from your body using the science technology of your fucking arms. Pull it off, and you put it in the hamper. And then if you don't get to your laundry soon enough, it's just rotten. Because you've had a wet, sweaty shirt soaked, saturated, in there for a week. But that's just another summer thing that I just can't tolerate. It's just not necessary. It's very upsetting. And it's not like I'm seeing a lot of guys with no shirts running around and I'm thinking, they got beautiful bodies. I mean, if I felt like they had beautiful bodies, maybe I'd be more allowing, because I'd say, well, what else are you going to do, really? Having a beautiful body as a man isn't bad, but I don't think it takes you as far as one might suspect. I don't think having a hot bod really gets you a lot in life unless you have the top 10% of hot bodies as a man. You have to be one of the hottest bodies. And even then, if you don't have a hot face, I don't think it matters. I think if you put Danny DeVito's head on a ripped body, no one would care. No one would be like, oh my god, well, he's fucking hot now. No. That movie Twins, if you just ripped off Danny DeVito's head and put it on Schwarzenegger's body. There's also kind of a weird thing where I feel like men's hot bodies have a very slim margin as far as like how muscular you're supposed to be. Because if you get real muscular, you'll hear people say that's gross. You know, oh, I don't like that, that's gross. But if you're not at all, also gross. You gotta hit that sweet spot, and I don't know how to know what that is. No one really helps you out with that. No one says, like, okay, you need to do more or less. They should just tell you, I don't know. Someone needs to tell everyone where they're at and keep a little chart of some kind. More charts. That's what... That's what everyone would fix everyone's problem, probably. A couple more charts, a couple more Excel files, maybe an Access database here and there. We'd all be in great shape. I had another thing I hate about summer, farmer's market. Now, I don't hate the farmer's market as a concept. Okay, I don't hate that the farmer's market exists. What I hate about the farmer's market is that I don't understand why the farmer's market seems to close at, I don't know, 6 a.m. They're open from like 4:30 in the morning till 6 a.m. Those of us who elect to wake up, you know, later than 9 on a day when there's no work, it's like, fuck you. What do you care? If anything, I need fresh fruits and vegetables more than anyone, because I spent all night last night dreaming about the old roller rink in town becoming a drug den. And these guys were all selling meth there, and some guy slapped me in the face with a bag full of meth. And I was like, this is horrible. What has become of my beloved roller rink? I went into the bathroom, the whole floor was soaked with pee. That part was pretty real, because we had this old roller rink, right? What a shithole. It was the kind of place that was, everything was carpeted. The walls, they had these weird mushroom stool things that were giant so you could sit on there and put on your roller skates. And it was the kind of place that was carpeted everywhere, and it smelled like it had been smoked in for 40 years. Even though I can't imagine that people were smoking in there. Perhaps. I mean, I don't know. The idea of smoking anywhere now to me is great. Like, to imagine just hands behind your back, turning a couple laps on roller skates, smoking. Can you smoke, like, in an outdoor roller skating? I don't understand the rules of smoking, really. You can't smoke on a patio, but if you stand on the other side of the patio, you can? I don't get it. I don't get it. But, anyway, that's, you know, it was a shithole. And it was dark in there. And you start thinking, I think instead of cleaning every time, instead of vacuuming or something, they say, let's just unscrew another light bulb. The darker it is in here, the less clean it needs to be, right? If no one can see the grime, it's like it's not real. It's as good as not real, if no one can visualize it and record it in their memory banks. So in the roller rink, too, they had the strangest bathroom set up, and here's why. Like many bathrooms, it had a drain in the center of the room. Which, I don't know, you should probably put the drain just right near the urinal or the toilet. Because really, if I miss the urinal, the pee travels through a slant in the floor all the way across the room. In an X, like I'm tic-tac-toeing the floor with pee. But it was in the center of the room, which meant the floor sloped to the center of the room, which means on roller skates, you go in the bathroom and skate across like a pee rink, and then you're standing at the urinal, and as you start peeing, it's almost like the force of the pee, that's all it takes to start pushing you backwards, because the floor is at a slant, right? So you start peeing, and it's like you got a tiny little jetpack. In my case, a teeny, tiny, tiny, tiny little jetpack. The smallest jetpack ever known to man. Couldn't lift an ant off the ground. couldn't lift a fly off the ground, even if he was assisting with his own wings. But I'm pushing with this tiny jetpack, and it's enough to start just sliding away from the urinal, and what are you going to do? As a kid, you just start moving away from the urinal, really all you know to do is go, uh-oh. But, I mean, I'm not a skater, I'm not an expert skatesman, I can't just skate towards the urinal as I'm peeing. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to pee and skate. Maybe if I could backwards skate, I could pee and skate, but that's just, again, peeing on the ground. So, you know, you just cover the floor and pee. So that part of the dream was accurate. The drug dealing part may or may not have been, I don't know. When I was a kid, my drug was rollerblades and speed skate. That was my high. I don't need methamphetamine to feel fast. I don't need methamphetamine to feel fast. Then I go shooting by on rollerblades. Peter Dirk is a rollerblader. Look at him go. Don't do meth. But, I don't know. This is a very strange dream. So, I stay up all night having these dreams. I don't know why, too, when I sleep and have dreams and then I wake up, it's like you didn't really sleep. I was too busy all night. It's a little bit like you're doing things. I don't know why my brain decided, let's construct a story where you're at the roller rink being sort of harassed by drug dealers in a 90s Lifetime movie fashion where they're very aggressively pushing drugs on people who don't take drugs. I always liked that. It was sort of like, the drug dealer was a sinister character in a weird way. They must not have had the right kind of drugs in these movies. Because my interpretation now is, for example, if I was a weed dealer or a meth dealer or whatever, I mean, I don't think it's hard to find people who want the drugs from me. That's kind of like the great thing about selling drugs, I would think. You're like, I mean, I don't really have to push it. This isn't the hard sell. They're fucking drugs. Everybody, they're expensive as hell, illegal as fuck, and everybody wants them anyway. I don't have to do shit. So, in the old movies, it was just like, okay, here's all the drugs. So, I'm in my dreams dealing drugs all goddamn night instead of sleeping. So, I feel like shit, and it would be nice to have these vitamins and minerals that I'm sure is in the farmer's market food that's not in the shit food that I eat. Do you know what I ate for dinner last night? 6.5 items from Taco Bell. Almost 7. I say items because some of them were tacos, some of them were burritos. I didn't know what to order. Also, here's a good one that I really hate about summer. Apparently, there's some kind of thing where if something happens in baseball, some kind of baseball achievement is achieved by the baseball men, Taco Bell becomes extremely cheap. Now, I had a big crave for Taco Bell. Someone at work had it the other night, and I was just thinking, God damn, that sounds good. So unwittingly, I just went there and saw the line was kind of long, figured it would be fine. It was not fine. I sat in there for 40 fucking minutes in line. My gas light was coming on my car. The light that indicates that I may run out of gas kept flickering to life. I had to turn off my engine in order to conserve gas because I was just fucking sitting there so goddamn long. Ridiculous. I hate that. That's so unnecessary. This is, again, like every place, right? Every zoo, every whatever. I'm like, you guys need to have the double day where it costs twice as much to go here because people like me who aren't scum will pay twice as much to not have other people here. So when you have the day where the baseball men do the thing, you should also have the day where they fail to do the thing, and then the tacos are twice as much. And then people like me who just think, well, fuck it, I value my time more than 40 minutes for $11 of Taco Bell, which, by the way, is a goddamn 3 tons of Taco Bell. Couldn't even fit it on the seat next to me. People like me, though, who could say, all right, I'd rather get through the line in 1 minute and save and pay $22 than be in this torturous situation where I'm sitting there, panicking, sweating that I'm going to run out of gas. There's nothing like eating 2 6.5 Taco Bells on a stomach nervous from thinking you're running out of gas. I don't know that I can blame this for my nightmares, but I will. I'm gonna. That's how I feel about it. I feel like it needs to... Someone has to be to blame. And it can't be me, because I don't always have the nightmares. And I don't always sit in Taco Bell for 127 hours. Directed by, Danny Boyle. Anyway, that's the lovely roller rink. Who else is good at the roller rink? That snack zone. I don't understand how someone at some point decided, you know what you need in addition to skating? Fucking snow cone. Or a Twizzler that's as long as a goddamn jump rope. That'd be perfect. And it's solid. Doesn't even have the hole in the middle. So you don't even get that little sense of relief. It's just all one twiz. No lure. Who knows, though? This is probably why roller rinks never lasted. They're just not of a quality that amuses children anymore. I mean, it didn't really amuse us at the time. But that's because we had shit. Besides, the whole point of the roller rink was to hold a girl's hand. That was the only reason to go there. That was the only purpose of the roller rink. Because you could go there on a date, and your parents would just drop you off there in, like, middle school. They wouldn't just drop you off some places. You know, like, my dad would never just let me... He abhorred the idea of dropping us off at the mall. He, for some reason, thought that this was just trouble brewing. Which is very bizarre, because for all the things that he thought were fine... For example, us just walking the neighborhood at the middle of the night after drinking parts of beers he left all over the house, and then we were smoking an old cigar at the baseball field at probably midnight or something. That was fine. Turning us loose at age 14 with $50 and telling us to go to the grocery store to buy tomatoes, which I don't know if... this was like a drunken thing he did, or if this was like a, let's get these kids out of the house for a couple hours kind of thing. I don't know. I don't know if I ever told that story on here, but basically that's the story. I had a friend over, and he said, go get some tomatoes, and he gave us a 50. And, you know, he's like, whatever, buy some other shit. So we go out, I don't even know what we did. We went to, I guess, the grocery store, and all I remember is hours later, we're walking back to the house, and I had a goddamn paddle ball. You know that thing, you got the paddle and the ball attached with the little rubber band, and you're just like, dunk, dunk, dunk. And, I mean, I'm 14. I have no interest in a paddle ball. Super Nintendo is invented at this point, okay? I'm into paddleball just because I had $50. It was more money than I'd ever seen and would ever see for quite some time. And I just said, oh, fuck it. I guess paddleball then, right? So we're walking back up the block. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know what else we got. Like yo-yos or something? All the 1930s toys? Walking up the block. I'm, you know, trying to master this paddleball. And we get to the end of the cul-de-sac, and all of a sudden realize, oh my god, we did not get the tomatoes. And so we had to all look through our pockets and see, like, all right, scrounge together enough money to go back to the store and get tomatoes. Which, at age 14, how much does a tomato cost? I have no fucking idea, right? For all I know, a tomato costs 20, and that's why he gave us 50. So we're just hoping we have enough. Walk back to the store, and of course this seems like a big chore now, because, I don't know, we'd already done this, basically, and we'd done all the fun parts of it. Now we were just doing the shit part, the errand boy nonsense. We walk back to the store. We buy a little package of three tiny tomatoes. Bring it back to the house. No change. I mean, we put change on the counter. It's like not even $3 remains out of 50 for three tomatoes. Not even enough tomatoes to make three BLTs. I mean, they were just these tiny... Oh, my God. What idiots. This is why you don't... Why you don't just give your kids a 50 and say, get me tomatoes. You can't send your kids on an errand without more... You have to put more rules in place than, go get me this. Bye. You have to say, bring me this. Bring me some fucking change. Because... This is outlandish, right? You cannot just send your kids out with $50 and expect anything good to come of that. Hey, come home with a fucking paddle ball. Probably someone's got some weird sunglasses from the gas station. You ate a bunch of gas station hot dogs or something. Nothing good. Nothing that as a dad you'd be like, oh, okay, well, that was... When I go to work tomorrow, I'll be able to think, hey, at least I'm providing for my kid's paddleballing habit that he just developed for no other reason than to blow 50. It's the only reason that was ever purchased. I don't know who else was buying those. God knows if you walked into a gas station today, do they still have that? If I go into a gas station right now, will there be a paddleball in there? Can I go to a Target and get a paddle ball? Where would you buy that? I don't even know anymore. I have no idea. Speaking of Target, had a little run-in at the Target. Now, normally, Target, this is a good place for me. Here's how you can tell how I'm doing financially. If I seem to be making a number of Target trips, I'm doing okay. I'm comfortable. Which is why I'm going to Target and buying things that I don't really need. In addition to the one thing that I really need, I'll pick up these five things I don't really need. Oh, what's this? A wooden spoon with a little hook on the end? Ah, a little ring that you could hang it on a hook? Well, if I get that, then I can also go ahead and get this nice hook. So now I can have a spoon hanging on the goddamn wall. Because that's the perfect place. I like to treat the kitchen like it's a fucking old shed where a man fixes a motorcycle. And I'll have just this one goddamn spoon hanging on the wall. Perfect. So I'm at the Target buying a spoon. And then a hook for the spoon. Or I was like, well, I guess I could buy cutters and cut the ring off. It's made out of metal. So I guess I could remove the ring and then I wouldn't need the... But it cannot be... I can't leave the ring on and not hang it. That's not an option. This is how sick my fucking brain is. I can't just have no hook and no option. So I'm in the Target. I buy my spoon. I'm walking out. So I'm going out. Now, Target has two sets of double doors. And in the center, that's the cart zone where all the carts get shoved in. So I'm going through the clearly marked, these are the doors for going out. You know, they split them in traditional out-in fashion. So I'm going out the outdoors, and this idiot mom and her dumb kids are coming in the outdoors. So it's double doors, they've come in the first set, and now they're at the second set. And they're stuck, the door is not opening. Now, I figure this out, why it's not opening, is because it swings their direction. And there's a sensor on there that when I'm going there to go out the proper direction, it doesn't want to swing the door out and just massacre some kid. Which sort of makes sense, right? So we're standing on both sides of a door, it only swings one direction, and it has a thing that prevents it from swinging in that direction if someone's standing right there. Which I sort of get. However, now we're just both standing on opposite sides of this door like idiots. I would say them more idiots because they're trying to come in the outdoor. So then I go around to try and just push the push door, because I don't mind the push door. I don't care. I'm going to go push the push door. Well, then the lady and the kids back up, right? So that maybe the door would work. So then I walk back around to try and trip the sensor for the outdoor, and it still won't go. So now I look like a complete fucking fool who can't work. This old woman comes by and she's like, "Ah, I guess it's not working today, huh?" I didn't want to explain to her. Actually, it's these dummies have ruined it. It works perfectly. It's a Target door. Of course it works. It's just not... Here's the problem I have with this door. Target, if you're listening. Target, makers of Target. I don't like a thing that's made to protect idiots. Okay? I think that we should make things that work the way they're supposed to work. And then if idiots mess it up, maybe the price you pay for being an idiot is you get hit with a door once in a while. You know, as I'm walking out with my wooden spoon that I purchased properly, where I turned down a Target card. Also, coupons printed out when I bought this spoon, like 3 individual coupons, and the weirdo at the register handed each one to me individually. I didn't care for that. Isn't it great? I just find it so bizarre. I've probably said this on every In the Car episode, but you'll just be on the highway. I don't know, it's like 10:30 at night. Car just going 15 below the limit. You know what I mean? What is that? It's going 50 and a 65. What's going on? What is that car doing? And how? And does it not bother this person that things are just like fucking zooming by? That's not a problem for them whatsoever. I don't understand. I don't understand how this works. Anything. So anyway, that's my problem with Target today. I mean, other than my own spending problems. I just don't like that they've designed something to protect the fools. The dolts. Idiots. I took a BuzzFeed quiz and I asked about, you know, your favorite words to call someone, and one of them said dolt. And I was thinking, I don't know if anyone else is picking that answer, but I'm definitely picking that answer. I had this idea that maybe what you should do if you're like a therapist or a psychologist or something, instead of doing these crazy tests, you know, these Myers-Briggses and whatnots, maybe just make your client take every quiz on BuzzFeed and then see how they feel about the answers. Is this accurate? Is this the Marvel villain you think you are? Is this, did you know the 80s as well as you thought you did from growing up in the 80s? I don't know. I also, had a sort of a resolution that then sort of went the other way at Starbucks the other day. So, I've complained before about this thing where, I don't like cream or sugar in my coffee. I like black coffee. This is like the one thing about me that's manly, right? As I lisp this through my adult braces, it's like the one thing that I can say like, man's man. Man of the people, man. And the people are all men and lumberjacks and awesome. So when they say room for cream, I always say no. But the truth is, I would like the room, not for cream, but because Starbucks seems to have trained everyone there to say, like, okay, coffee is our most inexpensive drink, so it's absolutely crucial that it be full to the fucking brim. So full that the movement of the earth will begin the cup spilling. It has to be. I'm surprised they don't put the lid on first and then have a fill hole in the lid so they can fill it up above the brim and so that it's leak. I cannot make it from a Starbucks to my work without spilling a shitload all over my car. My console has just become a Starbucks drip zone USA. So, the other day I was there and, it was, I can't remember exactly how it happened, but I'll do my best to recreate this thrilling tale of intrigue, where She said, room for cream, or do you need room? And I said, yeah, I could use a little room. And then she said, oh, okay, do you want me to put cream in there? And I was like, no, I was in the drive-thru. This is why. I rarely use the drive-thru, because why bother? But today I was like, I'll bother. I'm just going from here. I don't want to go in. It's perfect. So I go in the drive-thru. And she says, do you need some room? And I said, room for cream? Or do you want cream? And I said, no, but I could use the room. And she said, what? And I was like, you could just leave a couple inches at the top. And then she said, oh, okay, traveling room. And this light bulb goes off in my brain. Aha! It has a, there's a term. Traveling room. Sounds nice, right? Some rambling room? Something like that? It's like I'm getting on my motorcycle. I don't want it spilling all over this beautiful custom-painted gas tank with an eagle all over it. God knows that's the last thing I would want. So then I'm thinking, yes, now I can maintain my manly status, which again, I know this is a very weak manly status because I'm talking about Starbucks, but it's all I've got, okay? Don't take this from me. Life has taken away everything. Let me keep the few things that that work for me. So I get to keep that much of a manly status, at the very least, and say the term. I don't have to think, you know, cream, no cream, whatever, and then I don't have to spill on myself, and I get to be a man. It's perfect. Except, then of course I start overthinking it. Because I also think, well, do I want to be the kind of guy who, like, knows the terminology? I still order a medium coffee when I go in there. Well, I don't know why. It doesn't piss me off, honestly. I know everyone will say, oh my god, it pisses me off when you have to say grande coffee. I just feel like, I don't know, stalemate right now. I'm not pissed off at them. I don't think they get pissed off at me, even though they, 9 times out of 10, I say medium coffee and they say, okay, grande coffee. I'm like, hey, you guys call it whatever you want. I mean, when I worked at McDonald's, we didn't call it a sausage biscuit with egg and cheese. We called it a speech because it came up S-B-E-C-H. So whatever industry terms you got to use to get the coffee and the cup, that's fine. But I don't really subscribe to the terms. I don't like when things are cute like that. I don't know. I don't understand when people go in and they say, I'll have this or that upside down. I don't know what that means. Or why that would be a thing anyone would care about. I'm sure someone can explain it to me. But I guess, I don't know, I mean, when you're just getting coffee, what upside down would be exactly the same? Upside down and inside out. That's what coffee's all about. So I don't want to be the guy who knows the terms and who's real into... Ah, well, here's what I like. Coffee, grande, upside down, double half calf, and traveling room. Also, I'm deathly afraid of saying traveling room, like that's the term, and I'm almost positive the next person I Starbucks with will say, what? The next worker at a Starbucks will say, I've never even heard that. I've worked here 25 years, sir. I transferred from the original Starbucks. I'm not even sure if we're that old. I can't remember. But the point is, I've always worked at Starbucks. All I remember is Starbucks. I don't sleep well. My memories are not well formed. But this is all I know. And I know it well. And I'll tell you right now, there's no goddamn such thing as traveling room. Unless you just invented that. So then I start thinking, all right, well, what's the next step? I got to take out like a PSA, a billboard that's like, hey, when you go to Starbucks and you don't want cream, but you want room, it's called traveling room. And then everyone knows. Even the Starbucks person will say, oh, okay. Traveling room. 10-4. I could put out a little acoustic album called Traveling Room and have it up on their fucking, a little desk there. There's like a little desk when you go up there. But I don't know. So that, I mean, it was a very short-lived victory for me, traveling room. It was like I got a glimpse of the good life, and then no. I would like maybe one of Pete's patented horrible, rambly, insane emails to Starbucks is in order here, where I just explain how I'm a man. Dear Starbucks, first of all, I am a man. I just want you to know that. Not much of a man. I have a lot of things about me that are not manly. See the enclosed photo. However, and then just go into why they should train their employees and go ahead and say, hey, leave about an inch at the top, huh? Why not? There's also something going on with their lids. Does anyone who listens to this go to Starbucks as regularly as I do for coffee and have this problem? Or is everyone just thinking, like, stop going to Starbucks, idiot? Here's the problem, guys. I know you don't want me to go there, but where I live, there's, like, no good coffee place to go. There really isn't. I mean, there's good places, and the coffee is horrible. It's bad. It's really bad. I'm not just saying that because I'm some connoisseur, hippie, expert, whatever guy who can tell you the difference between a Guatemalan and a Sumatran bean. I don't care about that. I don't even know. Usually if they're like light or dark roast, I just say dark for no reason. It just sounds better, I guess. I don't know. Again, my coffee being the only manly thing about me. Anyway. So, there's nowhere else to go, okay? And the other thing is, when you've basically constructed your life so terribly, like I have, where I tell myself, tonight I'm going straight to bed. And then when I get to home, it's, oh, you know, it'd be better than going straight to bed. Let's stay up almost all night, and then see what happens tomorrow. And then you just go through your days in a complete fog. In some ways, it's not unpleasant. I'm not going to lie. Many a meeting have I sat through and thought, I'm too awake for this. I'm not kidding. Sometimes you'll be in a meeting and say, I feel a little too alert. I would prefer if I were a little more out of it. A little more on the rocks here. Not as certain of my body and awareness of who and where I am. I'd like to just hear someone talk about metrics and then sort of fade back in as someone asks me a question and then hope I can answer it. It's a lot easier to panic for the short time hoping you can answer a question than it is to listen to a lot of stuff. Okay? Someone was asking me about my job today and then made fun of my answer, although I thought it was a good answer. Because I just said, well, it's okay. I like the actual parts, but the office parts suck. You know, and then I said, the good parts are good, and the sucky parts suck. And he said, that's a deep answer, and I kind of thought, hey, fuck you. I just described every job in very few words. The good parts are good, and the sucky parts suck. So I guess the only thing you can do is try and reduce the parts that suck, or how much they suck. Or increase the parts that are good. I don't know, that's the key to success. Don't suck. Don't do the suck stuff as much, if possible. If you have that kind of control over your life. Must be nice. Must be nice to be one of these fancy schmants. My job doesn't suck, people. Must be amazing. Well, that extended silence probably tells us that I know it's a short show today, but it's cool. My ride's coming to a brutal end. I guess it's a normal end. I just thought that would be a fun way to end the show. How did the episode go? It came to a brutal and bloody conclusion that came out of nowhere but pleased audiences. There you go. Thanks for listening, like always. I always love that people listen. I don't know why. I don't know what. I would like to hear, if you get a chance, what you usually do while you're listening to this show. Are you on a train somewhere? Are you on the road, the long and lonesome highway east of Omaha? Are you jogging in a park somewhere? Central Park. Something like that. What are you doing that you listen to this show? Oh, other things. I just wrote my first paid column for the website LitReactor. LitReactor.com. It's called Poop Reads. So please go and click on that and click share on Facebook and click on Twitter. There's a Google Plus button, which two people, I guess, have clicked, which blows my fucking mind. I don't even know who or why, and I don't know if I should feel good about that, because if someone who's using Google Plus in a serious way enjoyed it, that makes me think I did something wrong. You know, if the worst villain in the world enjoys your work, that might not be a good sign. But go there, click it, share it. If you're feeling really ambitious, if you'd really like to push things along in my illustrious career, there's a whole list of books on there. And in addition, if you click my name at the top, you'll see these other little news bits I've done, and they usually connect to a book as well. If you click through that link to Amazon and buy the book, the website gets a little something back. So if you want to do that, that would be the closest thing I've had to a sponsor of any kind ever in my life. And that would help out this nice little website that provides some great shit. Tell 'em Pete sent ya, motherfuckers. One other thing. I expect in the next week or so to make a announcement about Helpful Snowball 2013. Again, I know it's 2014, but we've got a 2013 logo already. And we had plans to do this in 2013, but, you know, I had my semi-annual, maybe quarterly, tri-quarterly meltdown of life once again. So it didn't happen, but I'm out of meltdown, I think. I feel like I am, but who knows? I'm very tired. So here's what this is going to be. It's going to be a contest of fans to see who the greatest fan is. Now, you're free to enter this even if you're not the greatest fan, because I think it will be fun to do, and I think you should do it, not just because it benefits me, but because I think it will make the show better, and honestly, I think the chaos of some people who maybe don't really know what they're doing will improve things drastically. Here's the other thing. The contests, you know, will go, some will be super easy, some will be not so easy, but they should be accomplishable by almost any human, is the good news. So we're going to be discussing some details of that. I expect a post to go up about it. I'm going to schedule a date. I think it's going to be in the summer, because we're looking at episode 200. So that means I have to kind of figure out about when episode 200 would hit. Which is fine, because then I'll be on a schedule, which is a good thing. You know, maybe if I was on a sleep schedule, I wouldn't be dreaming these drugged-out roller rink dreams. Which is all I want out of life, is to stop that. Stop the madness, stop the roller rink. Stop rinking around, rinky-dink. Jesus Christ, this show. So look out for that, and get ready, because it's going to be fun. Once again, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Share something on the website, on your Facebook or your Twitter or whatever you use. Just link to something. Anything I did. I don't care if it's new or old or Lit Reactor or Helpful Snowman or Pete's Unsent Love Letters. Just pull something up and link somebody to it. Even better if instead of just throwing it up as a status, throw it on somebody's wall who you think would enjoy it. Because, you know, they trust your opinion more than mine, I would assume. So, There you go. Take it easy. Jesus. This is turning into like an awkward, you know, you meet some old man at an event and he tells you stuff about him and you kind of become friends, but you're sort of trying to get away for half the time. And then you're just saying, all right, well, good meeting ya. I'm sure I'll see you around. And in your head, you're like, well, I've never seen this fucker before. What are the odds I'll see him again? And then you kind of make your getaway. But then, you know, you're in his room. You're standing 20 feet away from him for the next 3 hours trying to avoid talking to him again. Because you're like, well, I mean, we talked about how it's supposed to snow. We talked about the car wash. I think we're out of topics here. Surprisingly, I feel like an old man most of the time, but in this case, we're out of topics. That's kind of how this show is ending. I'm just sort of dragging it out, and then, oh, one more thing, and then eventually one person or the other has to say, like, okay, it's freezing outside, I don't have a coat, I gotta go. Enough. Let's call it a day. And I say, indeed. So to you, listeners, I say indeed.